You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own stories and to share our content with others.
Are you saved?
Saved from what, some might ask. Pastor Greg Laurie responds.
And it seems a little overly dramatic, doesn't it? Saved? Do we have to use that term? I mean, it's not like I was out drowning at sea or I was in a burning house and I had to be saved. Now, no, wait a second. Saved is the perfect term to use. You literally were pulled out of the flames by Jesus Christ himself when you were saved. It's a big deal.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Important issue of this life. It's the very reason Jesus came to die on the cross. It's an issue of life and death. Eternity itself hangs in the balance. Salvation. And it revolves around a critical question that's at the gore point of the proverbial fork in the road. One path leading to heaven, the other to judgment. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie talks about salvation, what it is, and how we get it. Glad you're along.
I read an article recently in USA Today about various people that had won the lottery but never went and claimed their prize. In other words, they bought the winning ticket, but somehow they weren't paying attention or whatever, and they did not get that enormous prize that was theirs for the taking. One individual won $46 million. He beat the odds, $76,275,360 to 1 to win this incredible jackpot, but he missed the deadline and the prize went unclaimed. And apparently, according to this article, this happened quite often. A few years ago in California, a $25 million prize went unclaimed. Now, by the way, this is not an endorsement of the lottery. In fact, frankly, I can't think of a better way to waste your money than to buy lottery tickets, okay? But there's a few people, I don't know about that. But here's my point, though. Here's this enormous prize worth millions of dollars. You have the winning ticket, and you did not go and claim what was rightfully yours. God has a prize waiting for you that's of greater value than millions and millions of dollars. It's called salvation. It's called salvation. And for some, it's unclaimed. For others, it's unused. And for many of us, it's unappreciated and perhaps somewhat unknown. Do we really grasp? Do we really understand all that salvation is, what God has given to us when we put our faith in Christ? So let's talk about this incredible gift God has given to each of us that we call salvation. First of all, what is it? How do you get it? And once you get it, can you lose it? The very word salvation says it all. Oh, we've heard people use the word, you know, you've probably been approached by someone who came up to you with a wild-eyed look in their face, and they say, are you saved? They always have to say it kind of weird, too. It's not just, are you saved? But, friend, are you saved right now? I have to ask you, you know. What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. And it seems a little overly dramatic, doesn't it? Saved. I'm saved. Do we have to use that term? I mean, it's not like I was out drowning at sea or I was in a burning house and I had to be saved. I was a reasonably good person and now I put my faith in Jesus and no question I'm going to heaven. Now, no, wait a second. Saved is the perfect term to use because your faith was worse than being out at sea. It was worse than being in a burning house. You literally were pulled out of the flames by Jesus Christ himself when you were saved. It's a big deal, a really big deal. And listen to this. Salvation covers your past, your present, and your future. First of all, when you are saved, in other words, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it covers your past. God forgives you of all of your sin. And you need to know that when you put your faith in Jesus, the devil's going to be there to attack that. And he'll whisper in your ear the same thing that he said to our first parents in the garden. Did God really say what you thought he said? You remember, he came to Adam and Eve and challenged the word of God. And in the same way, after you put your faith in Christ, he'll come to you and say, do you really believe God has forgiven a creep like you? Do you really believe that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Well, you're not worthy. You don't deserve it. You're not good enough, and so forth. And I'll address those issues in a moment, but he'll challenge it. And it is then that we base our salvation not on our feelings in the moment, but on the fact of what the Word of God says. And when you put your faith in Christ, the Bible is adamant in saying you are saved. It is your present possession. You can know that you know. 1 John 5:10 says, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Romans 8:16 says, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Jesus said in John 5:24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him whom God has sent has eternal life. He doesn't say we'll hope to have or maybe we'll get someday. He says, if you believe in me, you have eternal life. And one of the most often quoted assurance verses, 1 John 5, these things we write to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Salvation covers your past. You are saved. Number two, salvation covers your present. Not only has God saved you, but listen to this. God is saving you. Saving me from what? The power and control of sin. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says that God delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us in whom we trust and will still deliver us. Yes, God has saved me. God is saving me every single day. And yes, he will save me in the future as well. From what? From future judgment. Romans 5:9 says, since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will save us from God's judgment. For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved from eternal punishment by his life. God has saved me, God is saving me, and God will yet save me in the future. But what does it mean to be saved? What does that encompass? What does that include? Well, let's unpack it. Let's unwrap this thing and open it up and lay all of the pieces out before us and see what salvation actually is. Let's look now at Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we are saved, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. First off, Paul tells us that we are justified. Now, before I get to that very important word, let me contrast it with another word we need to know about called regeneration. Okay? When you believe in Jesus, you are regenerated. To be saved is to experience regeneration. We use interchangeable terms like born again, believe in, saved, regenerated. So when you put your faith in Christ, God has regenerated you. You've passed from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, from hell to heaven. Now, contrast that with this word that we're going to talk about, identified here in Romans 5, the word justification. Regeneration has to do with what takes place in the believer's heart. Listen, justification concerns our standing before God. Regeneration is God's answer to the problem of spiritual death. Justification is the answer to the problem of guilt. We don't want to rush over this. We want to take it in. The word justified carries a twofold meaning. First of all, to be justified means that you are forgiven of all of your sin. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, all evidence of sin and guilt is completely wiped out. Now, don't rush over that. Think about it for a moment. Let it sink in. When you believe in Jesus, you're forgiven. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever done something you're ashamed of? Yeah, me too. I've done things I wish I had not done. I've said things I wish I had not said. Things I wish I could take back, but I can't. And you say, well, that's the end of that. No, actually it isn't. Because when a person is justified, God forgives this thing. He wipes this thing out. Acts 13:38 says, brothers, listen, in this man Jesus there is forgiveness for your sins, and everyone who trusts in him is freed from all guilt and is declared righteous, or is justified, something the law could never do. Speaking of our sins, God says in Hebrews 10:17, I will never again remember your sins and your lawless deeds. Over in Jeremiah 50:20 it says, in those days they'll look high and low for a sign of Israel's guilt, and they'll find nothing. They'll search nook and cranny for a trace of Judah's sin. Again, they will find nothing. Those people that I've saved will start out with a clean slate. I love that. Wouldn't you like a clean slate? Wouldn't you like a fresh start? That's what happens when you believe in Jesus Christ.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. If you prayed for our harvest events this year, if you supported them, thank you. It helped change lives.
I went through a rough pass from alcohol, drugs. Even while I was in the military, I was able to get away with, you know, some drugs, but then I got caught. But now I'm here to live life the right way.
I've just been doing bad stuff in my life lately, and I just came down here to, like, publicly give myself to Christ.
I was questioning if I was to die today. Would I go to heaven or hell? And I just wanted to be sure that I would go to heaven.
For me, it was just like that conviction, like, it was time, you know? Cause I always hear in church, they ask us to go up and rededicate ourselves, and I'm like, next time, and then finally, I'm like, do it.
I made some bad decisions in the past, and I decided to come down to the field tonight because I want to change my life around.
God not only forgives, he forgets. God takes your sin, he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, and he posts a sign that says, no fishing allowed. Your sins can be forgiven, and your sins can be forgotten tonight, no matter what they are, if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ.
Jasmine, how old are you?
Seven.
Seven? Did you give your heart to the Lord tonight?
Yes.
I'm 79. I felt all along that I wanted to come down, but my nephew convinced me. And I'm glad he did. I know it's going to be a changing point in my life.
The gospel changes lives. Thanks for the part you've played in making the Harvest Crusades and Harvest America possible. And we're planning now for Harvest America 2014. Now's the time to begin praying and registering your support so more lives can change. For more about the fruit of these events, go to harvestamerica.com. Be sure to watch the video. And take a moment to thank the Lord for pouring out his grace and mercy on the lives of all those who come forward. Well, we're digging into the issue of salvation today, seeing how our sins are forgiven as if they're cast into the depths of the ocean. Here's Pastor Greg to continue.
I scuba dive every now and then, and I remember years ago I was over in Hawaii diving with some friends, and we weren't down that deep. We were probably about maybe 15 feet under the surface, and you know, as you're kind of cruising along there, you can see the ground below you, and it was getting deeper and deeper. In other words, the ground was getting further and further down, and we stayed at our same depth, and then we came to this one point where there was this massive cliff that just dropped off and you couldn't see anything. And I kind of just went out a few feet and I'm just sort of looking at nothingness, and it freaked me out. And I turned back, went back to the, I started thinking of the story of Jonah and the whale there. And then I thought of the Jaws movies, and then I started hearing dun, 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 dun. It just kind of freaked me out a little bit. I couldn't see the bottom. Now, it didn't change my situation, but it was so deep. Now, God has taken your sins and He's cast them to the depths of the sea. They're gone. They're forgiven. And listen to this. They're not just forgiven. They're forgotten. Now, that doesn't mean that God has a lapse in memory. Oh, I can't remember. No, He technically knows, but He has chosen to not remember them. We should not choose to remember what God has chosen to forget. Why do we dredge up old sins? Why do we have to keep reliving those things again? Can you not accept the fact that when you have salvation in Christ, you are justified, which means that God has taken your sin and He has forgiven and forgotten them? As Corrie ten Boom used to say, God has taken your sins, He has thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness, and He has posted a sign that says, no fishing allowed. Let it go. Put it behind you. As Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are before. On my computer keyboard, I have a key. It has the word delete on it. You have that key as well, right? Maybe you're working on a document and you write some things. You say, I don't want to use this. And so you highlight it and you hit the delete key. Now, where does that text go? I have no idea. I don't really even care. Do you? Probably goes the same place that all those socks go. Why is it you only lose one sock? You ever notice that? And you know, I don't know about you, but I always keep the other sock. So in my drawer, I have single socks. It's just waiting for the return of its mate, you know? One day the prodigal sock will come back. The other day I was walking down the street and I saw a sock lying in the gutter. I thought, that's where they go. There's the prodigal sock right there. They're laying there. Anyway, so I don't know where these things go. But I'm just glad they're gone. And God forgives and God forgets. Now, that's only part of justification. That denotes the negative part, what God has taken away. But listen, justification is a positive side as well, which includes what God has done and given to us. A technical definition of the word justified is to put to one's account. To put to one's account. Listen, when God justifies a person, He does so by placing to his or her credit the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This balances the moral and spiritual budget for us, if you will. Philippians 3:9 says, we've been found in Him, not having our own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, that is not a gradual process. It doesn't take place over a period of time. It's instantaneous. God removes your sin, and then He puts the righteousness of Christ in your account. Now, let's illustrate it. Let's say that you somehow got yourself in debt for $10 million. And you were going to go to prison for it, as a matter of fact. And there was an article in the paper with your photo there saying that you were in debt for all of this money, and you were going to be sentenced that day. And let's just say you're in the courtroom and Bill Gates shows up. So he heard about your plight and he had arranged a deal with the judge where he would pay all that you owed plus interest. And so with one stipulation, he said you had to use a PC computer the rest of your life. You had to get rid of your Mac. And that was hard, but you agreed. And I'm messing up my own illustration. Okay, let's go back to it. So Bill Gates pardons you for $10 million. You say, thank you, Mr. Gates. I appreciate that. And then as you're leaving the courtroom, he says, oh, by the way, check your balance at the bank. Why would I do that? I already know what it is. He goes, check it again. So you're on the way home. You go by the ATM machine. You punch in your code, and you have $20 million in the bank. That's justification. God removed all of your sin. He forgave it. And then He put the righteousness of Christ into your account for the future. See, that's the part a lot of people don't always know about. It's a wonderful, amazing thing that God has done for each of us. How is this done? Is this done through my good works that outweigh my bad works? Hardly. This is done through the sufficient death of Jesus Christ on the cross when He met the righteous demands of God. We're told over in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. John MacArthur defined justification as follows. On the cross, God treated Christ as if he had personally committed all the sins of every sinner who would ever believe, so that he could treat believers as if they had lived Christ's perfect life. I'm going to repeat that again. Listen. On the cross, God treated Christ as if he had personally committed all the sins of every sinner who would ever believe, so that he could treat believers as if they had lived Christ's perfect life. See, that's how God sees me now in Christ. Not me and my good works, me and my accomplishments. No, he sees me in Christ with his righteousness in my spiritual bank account. Let me illustrate it again. I heard the story of a wealthy, successful, well-dressed lawyer walking down the street. And there was a homeless guy begging. And as the lawyer walked by, he stopped for a second and turned around and said, "Excuse me, you look familiar to me. Do we know each other?" The guy said, "Yeah, Steve, English, third period, remember?" "I do remember you, Steve." Wow, he could see that Steve had fallen on hard times. So the attorney pulled out his checkbook, wrote a check for $500. He said, "Listen, Steve, I want you to have this. You don't have to explain to me how you got to the place you're at right now. I want to give you a fresh start. Let the past be in the past. I hope this helps." And the lawyer leaves. And Steve, tears filled his eyes. It was such a generous gift. And the next day, the attorney's walking down that same street, and there's Steve still begging. Says, "Oh, wait, what happened, Steve? Did you drink the money up? Did you wait? What happened?" Steve said, "Well, actually, I never cashed a check." The lawyer said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, I went down to that bank, and here I am in these tattered clothes, and you know, obviously, I don't have any money. And I looked at all those well-dressed people in there, and I thought that they would take one look at me and think that I forged this check, and they'd never give me the money, maybe even call the police on me. I just didn't think it would work, so I never cashed a check that you gave to me." And the attorney said, "Steve, listen, what makes that check good is not your clothes or your appearance. What makes that check good is my signature. Now you go and cash it." In the same way, the devil comes to you and says, "Well, you're not worthy to go to God. You're not going to..." Hey, that's not what gives me access to God. It's based on the signature of Jesus Christ written in blood over my life when he gave me salvation, which means that I can go to God any time. This is what God has done for each of us.
Getting a glimpse of what's really involved in salvation. Pastor Greg Laurie with a behind-the-scenes look at the full story behind the good news. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, we'd be happy to send it your way. It's a CD with everything you heard today, along with the material Pastor Greg plans to cover next time. Just get in touch and mention the message called "What is Salvation?" And we can help you with your order if you'll call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. The new Harvest Wall Calendar is now available. Do you have yours yet? If not, call us and let us send you one.
Well, I love the Harvest Calendar because it's got the spiritual aspect to it. I could go to a store and buy another kind of wall calendar for my cubicle, but I love the Harvest one because it does have the spiritual aspect.
Many folks have a calendar on their smartphone, but people still love our Harvest Wall calendars.
I don't really have to worry about grabbing my phone and, you know, looking up the day, and I can just kind of glance at my calendar.
Sometimes I'm on the phone talking to somebody, and I have to look at a calendar, and I love to use my wall calendar because it's big and it's close to where I'm at in my office, and I can just check it out while I'm on the phone without having to toggle between applications and have somebody wait.
Why not get the new Harvest Calendar for yourself?
This particular calendar for 2014 is built on the theme of Proverbs 31 that tells us what a virtuous woman looks like. You know, when we use the word virtue, we think of it as a feminine word, but in the Bible it really isn't. It's a word that speaks of both men and women, but it speaks of influence and force and strength. And so this calendar focuses on being a person of strength.
We'll send the calendar to say thanks for your donation right now. Call 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300 or go to harvest.org. And while you're there, find out about becoming a Harvest Partner or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Remember, you can connect with Pastor Greg on Facebook, Twitter, or at his blog site, blog.greglaurie.com. Well, next time, Pastor Greg continues this fascinating look at what's involved in our salvation. Be sure to tune in here on A New Beginning.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. We could never pay, but from my heart I'd like to say
this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
There is a war going on, a spiritual war, a war between truth and deception. Only one thing cuts through all the lies and opinions of man. It is the truth of an ancient book, the Bible. It is God's word, God's sword.
Oh, my brother, we are engaged in a war. There is a threat on our lives, need I say.
Well, Psalm 35, check this out. I believe Psalm 35 is that kind of psalm that we ought to visit frequently. I know I do. And it isn't so much, I do have some earthly enemies. I do have some that spread nets, and I've seen them fall into the nets they've spread. I've seen it. Praise the Lord. I've seen God's deliverance. Chuck Smith, Pastor Chuck, has always said, you know what, if you want to defend yourself, If you want to defend yourself when you're being attacked and people are talking about you, you can, he says. God will let you, but he could do it better if you let him. If you just let God vindicate you, just let God, instead of your own mouth doing it. I have seen it. I've experienced it. I have seen the wishes of those who plotted against me come upon them. I've seen it. Maybe you have as well. But I do know this. There is a day coming for the enemy of my soul and for all those devils, those principalities that conspire. Those that are plotting behind the scenes, they've been messing with me my whole life, and you too. And they mess with everybody that I love. The people that I love, they want to kill. And I've really had it with them. And when I grow up, I'm telling you guys, I spent my entire boyhood dreaming of growing up just to get vengeance. I had all these dreams. I'd sit around and just dream about it, just dream. Go out in the woods and make all these crazy, obstacle courses to train and just try to, get tougher, get bigger, get stronger, because someday I want to take my vengeance. Praise the Lord. Grace of God interrupted all of that. The Lord came into my life, interrupted that. But there's still a score to settle. But it's not human. I want to have the chance to look eye to eye with that punk that took my dad out. That same spirit that manipulated the lust of my earthly father and ruined his life. That at the ripe old age of 34, he would testify to me that he was miserable. The devil that messed with him, that devil that had him drawn to the bottle, and then the evil that would come out of him under the influence of that hard liquor. There was a spirit behind that. I am going to see that spirit one day. Do you guys know what I'm saying? The Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that you will one day judge angels? Do you know that the saints will one day judge the world? Do you not know you will one day judge angels? All I want is 5 minutes alone with that punk. When I'm all grown up, and I'm no longer mortal, no longer subject to temptation. I'm like, when I'm bulletproof, I'm going to go, come on. It's go time. That, I believe every single one of God's people are going to have that privilege. In fact, I'll testify that the Word of God says so. I'll make my point right here. It is the end, the very last of the Psalm. No, second to the last of the Psalms. The second last of the Psalms talks about the saints of God having the high praises of God in their mouth and a double-edged sword in their hands. For what? Verse 7, Psalm 149, verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments unto the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise you the Lord. Hell yeah. All you little women, wait to see what you're going to be when you're all grown up. All you little ladies. One day, and we ain't talking about something carnal or something glorious. On the other side of the transformation of you, your whole being, man, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that we shall be like him. But we shall see him as he is. And then in that moment, in that state, do you understand? God is going to use you to execute judgment. Okay, so Psalm 36. This is to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself with his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. There is observation in verse 1. This, the transgression of the wicked says within my heart, there's no fear of God before his eyes. The proof, somebody may say they fear God. They may talk a good talk about the man upstairs. Certain regions of this country, that is very common. I'm struck every now and then by, you know, some country artist who gives some honor to God with a song. And you find out about the lifestyle, the wickedness of their life. There's no fear of God. See, it's what you do. The Lord Jesus said this. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. It's what we do that proves whether we actually do or not. David says, it's the transgression of the wicked that says, there's no fear of God in his eyes. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The wicked doesn't have that. For he flatters himself in his own eyes, and his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit, and he's left off to be wise and to do good. Flattering oneself in his own eyes. Proverbs has a lot to say about that. That fool being wiser in his own eyes than seven men can render a reason. We've all seen it, right? Someone, as the old saying, has a legend in his own mind. The wicked man does, in fact, flatter himself. You've heard it. Perhaps you've been guilty of it in the past. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. That deviation from wisdom, the deviation from doing what is good. He devises mischief in verse 4. Upon his bed, there. What do you think about when you're laying there before you go to sleep? That kind of reveals a lot about who you are. What do you think about? Psalm 1 says, the blessed man meditates on God's law day and night. What does the wicked man meditate on? How to do more wickedness. He lays on his bed and just, it is also in Psalm 149, which I just quoted a minute ago. It says, let them, the people of God, sing aloud to God upon their beds. The wicked man, he takes advantage of that time in the bed to just dream about more wickedness. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that's not good. He abhorreth not evil. He sets himself up for trouble, truthfully. Verse 5 says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. This is what we sang tonight. Your mercy reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness, like the great mountains, your judgment are as the great deep. Oh, the depth of God's judgments. And Lord, you preserve man and beast. It is God who sustains life. It's God who created it and God who sustains it. How excellent is thy loving kindness in verse 7, O God. And that's the reason that the children of men put their trust in you. Under the shadow of thy wings. That's a beautiful expression. Under the shadow of thy wings. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, looking from the Mount of Olives across to the city of Jerusalem? And he wept. He wept hard. He had a breakdown. He convulsed with agony at the thought of all they would suffer in the future. And he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not let me. And so it is. The Lord would weep over Jerusalem, the city that wouldn't let him. Let him what? Let him gather them. That right there, guys, that's the safest place in the universe. Under the shadow of God's wing. Verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Now, ever since the 1990s, I can't read that verse without hearing audio adrenaline. See, it's a big, big house with lots and lots of food. It's a big, big, do you think about that one, you guys? I think about it. Is that the house of God? Is it got a big table, man? They'll be satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and you make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. For thee is the fountain of life. God has it. He's the source. The Son of God testifies that anyone who really thirsts can come to him and drink. And what he gives him to drink is the Spirit will be a river, a torrent of living water, flowing out of their very being, no longer driven by thirst, no longer tormented. That's what hell is. Man, everybody in hell is thirsty. The rich man in hell, Luke 16, cries out, Father Abraham, please, send Lazarus. I know that guy Lazarus. He was a beggar at my gate. Send him. Let him dip that tip of his finger in that water and let him come over and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It wasn't like fire that's burning him up, consuming him. It was the fire, the flames of unquenchable thirst, longing for God. The very thing that on earth in this life can actually drive you to do all kinds of crazy things, just the thirst. A misunderstood, a misinterpreted thirst. We thirst and we think, I know what it is. It's power if I just had power. More power. If I ruled the world, then I'd be satisfied. No, it's not that. It's pleasure. If I had more pleasure, I just can't afford all the pleasure I want. That's my problem. If I only could afford all the pleasure that I want, then I would actually be happy and be satisfied. No, it's not pleasure. What else could it be? Possessions, that's it. It's possessions, but just had more possessions. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's those things. People always are thinking, if I just had her, if I just had him, why, then I'd be satisfied. The woman at the well, the Samaritan lady, in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus addressed thirst with her because she was that girl. She went from one man to another. She'd had four husbands. Now what she's got, she finally gave up on the whole covenant, gave up on marriage, and just said, I'll shack up with this guy and settle. And she did. And the Lord said, go get your husband. Thirsty lady. The Lord, talking to her about thirst, said, go get your husband. She goes, nah, I don't have one of those. He goes, exactly. Bingo, you don't. You got something, but that ain't no husband. Truth is, you've had four husbands. Four? Five. I second-guessed myself, and I should have. Five. And the sixth thing is not a husband. That thing. The dude that has got all the benefits of a wife without any of the commitment. That ain't no husband. But by the way, share that with all the people that tell you, you know, a paper doesn't really matter. I mean, it doesn't really matter. People shacking up and tell you, you know what, whatever. I mean, it's just a paper. What is that? Apparently, it's something. Because the Lord said, what you got, Samaritan lady, thirsty woman, ain't no husband. He didn't accept the common law notion. He just said, you're thirsty. That's what you are. She always thought, if I just had the right man, and she kept getting them, and neither one was... Nope, not the right one. Nope, not you either. Next. Nope, not the... What a way to live. The very thing that in this life can make you do all these dumb things in hell becomes the very source of torment. The fountain of life is with the Lord. Verse 9, with these the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. It is in his light. In his light we actually see what light is. There is a false light. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians and his ministers. They transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. That is his servants. There's a false light. There's this illusion. But in God's light, we'll see light. Verse 10, O continue thy loving kindness to them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. This request at the end, don't let the foot of pride come against me, or the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen and are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Get them, God. That's David's prayer. Get them. Psalm 37. Oh, ye of little faith. I have told you this one before. I've taught it before. Several times. I say to you guys, I am prone to get myself all worked up. Yes, I am. I am prone to looking around the world and seeing the injustice and the evil and really, really getting upset about it. I, as a boy, had the worst potential of becoming some kind of militant terrorist kook, environmental wacko. I was one weird kid. And to this very day, if I look at the injustice, the wickedness, the evil, things that people are getting away with, if I listen to the conspiracy people, they can get me worked up. And I can see things. I can hear certain leaders just step up to the microphone and give a speech, and I hear it on my television, and I find myself getting mad just hearing their voice. Do you know what I mean? Any of you people, can any of you identify with that right there? Certain voices just make you go, duh, turn that off. I don't want to hear that guy or that crazy woman. Yes, I can get worked up. Psalm 37 is what I return to. Psalm 37 straightens me out. Psalm 37 cools me out. Look at the verbs of Psalm 37, verse 1. Opens up with, fret not. I'm telling you, do you know what it is to fret? I do. And the word here says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. He thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him. For he seeth that his day is coming. Oh, that's sweet. The wicked have drawn out the sword. They have bent the bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. I wish he would have defined that right there, don't you? I wish he would have said, I am right now, whatever, 70, or something. He didn't tell us what that is. I have been young, and I am now old. And yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Oh, depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They're preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Now the wicked watcheth the righteous, seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked in great power. spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked. He shall save them because they trust in him.
Hey, thanks for listening to God's Word today. Before we close the show, we'd like to tell you about a special ministry here at Calvary Chapel.
What we find in Scripture, speaking about binding up what is broken.
I'm Peggy Bruni, and I'm the director of a program called Blessed Hope, which is a women's drug and alcohol program. It's not really about drugs and alcohol. It's about God restoring your life.
Seven Oaks is the men's program. It's a residential program, primarily through a relationship with God, and then through daily discipline and work.
I was just always trying to find something that was going to fix what was missing.
Searching for someone that, something that would accept me. I found it in drugs.
My addictions, they always kind of had a hold of me, but really my life spun way out of control.
One night I ended up taking a little bit too much and found me just blue, sitting in a chair, not breathing at all.
Daily regimens of just being in the Word of God and in prayer and in constant fellowship produces change.
When I got there, and heard God's word taught, then it just grabbed a hold of my heart, and I heard truth.
Taking me down to the place of a child and building me back up within 6 months to a year time to a godly man.
Teach you how to make good decisions, how to prioritize your life.
It's not about finishing a program. It's about you beginning to know Jesus Christ and having a rock that you can stand on.
The very best federally funded secular drug and alcohol programs have a cure rate maybe of 1%. We have been blessed with no less than 63%. We consider somebody totally changed when they walk in total freedom, no longer dependent upon even tobacco.
You know, that's what the program does, is it gives you complete hope, and it doesn't just take you off the street and clean you up a little bit and put you back.
It is the Lord that is sustaining me. And me walking with the Lord is what's keeping me going.
We find the resources to keep going by the grace of God. It works through the residence fees, which cover a portion, and then the work details that we do, which go out and cover a portion. It's largely underwritten by the gifts and tithes that come to the church.
Seeing that there is someone somewhere, that there are organizations that actually provide legitimate help and gratitude, motivates people to support what it is we're doing.
We are real people
with real stories.
We had real addictions, and we have a true hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ.
Do you or someone you know need God's help in finding freedom from drugs, alcohol, or addiction? Learn more about Calvary Chapel's Residential Discipleship Ministries, Blessed Hope Women's Program, or Seven Oaks Men's Program, or support these life-saving ministries at BlessedHopeWomen'sMinistry.org or SevenOaksTrainingCenter.org.
God's Sword is a production of Calvary Chapel in Central Maine, located at 154 River Road in Orrington. If you have any questions, comments, or need prayer, please contact us at 207-991-9555, or you can email us at info@ccbangor.org. If you're in the Central Maine area, you can listen to God's Word daily on WJCX 99.5 at 9 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. You can also check out our online teaching and available resources or make a donation to help support God's Word at www.ccbangor.org.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.